We don't waste eyes on just anything. We drive a car and we have washing machines. And a what? Our daughter was born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. War Eagle. And she was going for her doctorate's degree and had applied at Birmingham. And the young filly who was interviewing her told her she was going to have to go and learn to speak not quite as Southern. Keith McNeely's back there, and one of the first things I remember about Keith was a motorcycle, a BMW that he had purchased when he was at Brilliant, Alabama, right? And I was impressed. It had heated hand grips. At that time, when cell phones were as big as bag phones, I think he had a cell phone holder, right? If I'm wrong, just say you're wrong. And a windshield that came up and down. Did you have that? Not yours. I was invited to go to a place called Sandpoint, Idaho, several weeks ago to hold a memorial service for a preacher's wife. We were dear friends down in Florida, and they were coming back from Florida. He had since moved to Sandpoint, and his wife was in a motel in Chattanooga, and she fell over and hit her head and got a hemorrhage, a brain hemorrhage. They couldn't stop, and she died there in Chattanooga. So they asked if I'd go up to Sandpoint. And I'm 62 years old, but I had to prove that I was still young. So I told my wife I was going to ride my motorcycle with a pop-up camper and the sidecar 2,000 miles. And I did fine until I got to Mound City and stopped and camped and was doing fine going across 90 until I hit Wyoming and those ungodly winds. But I enjoyed it. So don't call me an old man or I'll challenge you to a 4,000-mile ride. Why do our young folks leave the church? You got friends that have left the church? Yes, no, don't know? What reasons they give? Next age group. Those in their 20s and 30s, have you had friends that for some reason have turned their back on the church? Yes? No? What reasons are given? Do what?
Worship is not as exciting
and stimulating. All right, what else?
Is he in the 20s and 30s group?
Yeah. Hey, I'm not old. He looks young to me. All right.
One reason I've heard people wanting to leave churches in general, not necessarily the church, but denominational, they feel like everybody judges them because they've done something wrong.
Okay. Everyone's judging them because the who hasn't done anything wrong? Who?
Jesus.
He's not here tonight. In the pews anyway. We've all messed up, folks. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, James 1:13. God does not tempt anyone, but every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Lust when it is conceived bringeth forth sin. Sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err. Do not go astray, my beloved brethren. We all have a past. We all have a closet that we do not want people to look into. It is a lot easier for you to be a Christian if your children do not live here. Because everyone's watching your children. And God forbid if you're a preacher's children. They do everything wrong. All right? Another reason people are leaving the church. Or just given up on God, period. One of the major arguments and accusations against Christianity is, how can a loving God allow His children to hurt the way that they do? Who does that bring to mind in the Bible?
Job.
Give me two characteristics about Job that prove the atheist wrong. Prove our thoughts wrong. My wife tells me the reason he didn't take away his wife because he'd have to replace him with two. So the Bible says that God said Job was a perfect teleos, complete, brought to in his relationship with God. God says he's a righteous, blameless man. Job also makes that statement. Until the accuser of the brethren, Job chapter 1 and Zechariah chapter 3 and Revelation 12 and verse 10, the accuser of the brethren stepped in. How can bad things happen to good people? We turned the world wrong side up. God had it right. And we decided we were going to be our own gods. When the Bible says they'll become as wise as gods, that's simply what he's saying, is they took charge, God stepped aside, and they took charge of their own life, and they messed it up. And God's been in the restoration business ever since. Why do people leave the church or leave God?
It's so fashionable to make claims about truth, because then other people might be wrong, and that's inconsiderate to suggest that some people might be wrong.
Okay. We are living in a world that now has and sets forth the idea that there are no absolute truths. They say about God's Word that we cannot understand it alike. You hear that? That's just what you say. If we accept it in religion, why don't we accept it in a mathematical class? How many teachers have we got in here? You're teaching, and let's just say you teach math. 2 and 2 is... Oh, that's just what you say. That's just your interpretation. My wife is the director of case managers for Siloam Hospital. My wife started off critical care ICU, where they don't study one book like this. They study several books like this from coast to coast. And every nurse in America is judged and tested on that book. You'd better be right, and you'd better see it right, or you'll fail as a nurse. Why else do people leave the church, leave God, turn their back on God? Okay. Donna, have I ever been mad at you? Glad you can't see that look. Back to Brilliant in Lynn, Alabama. I was preaching at the time at Vine Creek. And I don't know what. I just don't know what I said. But I was mixing some homemade ice cream. My wife said, and you call yourself a Christian. It takes a lot to aggravate my wife, but apparently I did. And I took that bowl of mixture and I slammed it down on the counter. Throw it. My wife was standing up on the ceiling and she just looked at me and she said, well, you gonna clean that off? We try and sometimes we fail. Let's do this. Turn over to the book of Psalms, the 13th chapter. Yes, for many, many, many weeks. The book of Psalms is made up of five books. Four categories: problems, patience, prayer, and praise. And all of the Psalms will fit into either one or two of those categories. The book of Psalms was the Jewish papalist hymnal. They sang the Psalms. When David's son died, what did he do? He got up, he cleaned himself, put on new clothes, and went into the temple and worshiped God. How many of you have ever been on mission works outside of this country, or even some impoverished area in this country? Where'd you go, Bobby?
Russia.
Where?
Africa.
Africa. Doesn't take long to figure out the whole world's not like Washington County, does it? When I went to the Yap Islands, Yap is in the Philippine Sea, just below Guam, two elderships had called and asked if I would go and get two congregations together that didn't even know each one of them existed. When a lady with two babies, one on a hip and one would walk in the rain for 5 miles and sit on a concrete floor under a tin roof and listen to a preacher for an hour with the attitude, is that all you've got? And you come back to America and listen to some of the excuses that Christians use while they're displeased at the church and at the Lord. It takes everything I've got not to strangle them. We are so fickle. Our foundation is so weak. Our convictions are so tender that we just crumble. I wonder, give me a yes or a no. Could the 21st century church survive in the first century? Why not? Don't have air conditioning? I'm getting hot. Why not? Let's look at this. Okay.
But I think there's several, if not many, in this.
I'd like to think that we could. I really do. I'd like to think that our conviction and our relationship with God Almighty and Christ the Son is so strong that nothing could debunk us. I'd like to think that. I'd like to think that of myself. Someone read verses 1 and 2. I'll tell you what, read the first 5 verses. Or 3 verses of Psalms 13. How long? What's the longest you rode your motorcycle, Keith?
Rode down to Nashville. All the cold weather.
How far?
Miles off here to Nashville.
From here?
Yeah.
To Nashville. Have you ever driven across South Dakota? Feel a story coming on. Once you make your turn heading west on I-90, wherever I-90 goes, I think I-90 goes to Hawaii, 80 miles an hour, and I'm riding my motorcycle and I'm hitting wind, and an old man and his son pass me on their motorcycles. No. They weren't that refined. And so they pull in the filling station. A little bit later on, I pull in. And I ask them, where they're going. They tell me, once a year, this young man allows his father to tell him where they want to take the ride. He's 93 years old, had a two-wheeler, had it converted into a three-wheeler. And a 93-year-old man passes me on a motorcycle. That doesn't go over very well. So I'm fighting the winds going through South Dakota, and he passes me again, and he looks like he's got a walking stick saying, come on, old man. Once you make a turn there, you will see a sign. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was probably 800, maybe 900 miles to a place called Wall, W-A-L-L, South Dakota. You ever been there? Keith's probably driven past it, haven't you? Yeah. Wall Drug. So I'm halfway through trying to put 600 miles a day on the bike, and I'm thirsty and I'm hot, and I see a Dairy Queen sign. Well, what's the ice cream they have? No. What's the ice cream? Well, whatever it is. What? Yeah, soft served ice cream in a cup. That sounds good. So I walk into Dairy Queen the night before. My air mattress went down in my pop-up camper, so I threw it away and figured I can go to Walmart and get another one. So I walk into Dairy Queen and I say, where is the closest Walmart? And he looks at me, shakes his head, goes and asks the supervisor to come over. And she comes over. Could you tell me where the closest Walmart is? Never heard of it. And I thought, it's got to be the accent. Who has not heard of Walmart? So I said, where is the next largest city? Now we're in South Dakota. He looks at me and he says, New York. I said, conversation over. How long? How long, O Lord? How long? 1, 2, 3, 4 times David The language is talking about the anger of David yelling at God. How long? How long? And many people going through the difficulties of life are not asking, is there a God? They're asking the question, is there a God who cares about me? Look at the problems that he faces here. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? David's talking about problems, and in his mind, he's presenting to us that these problems seem to be unending. Will there ever be an end to it? Have you ever been there? You ever been in a situation where you wondered, is this ever going to come to an end? You know anyone that's fought cancer? And it just, they just can't get a handle on it. Parents with children that have gone astray, they're wondering, where's the turning point? And so David asks the question, how long, Lord? Is this ever, are my problems ever going to end? Our daughter, that's the female in the family. She, even to this day, the kids still call. Daddy, and then she'll start. Us dads are masters. All things work together for what? What? Finish it. We've got the answers. She didn't want the answers. She wants some sympathy. And she made the statement to me, Daddy, can I please have a bad day? And sometimes we're masters at it. We're masters at giving advice, even scriptural advice. And think, well, that fixes everything. So David here is agonizing over his problems. Are they ever going to end? Turn over, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Someone read out loud, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Keep in mind, David has said, how long are my problems going to last forever? Someone read it. Out loud. Now, wait a minute. Our what? Lord, how long are my problems unending?
We're momentary.
Momentary. How long do things last? God says, but for a moment. Bobby, I believe you held the funeral for Sister Gladys Armstrong, 103, 104, no one quite knew how old she was, but I had three of them, 103, 104, and 105, but I've held the funeral for Sister Sands in Tiptonville, Tennessee, 106 years old. I want to make it to 200 just so I can bankrupt Social Security. I'm sitting there and I'm talking to this 106-year-old lady. What are some of the greatest things that you have seen? I mean, we're talking horse and buggy, electricity, indoor plumbing, lights, automobiles. And a lady 106 years old said, "Mike, I don't know where the time's gone." 106 years old. How many children do you have, Larry?
I have four.
What do you have?
I have two girls and two boys.
All right, two girls, two boys.
13 grandchildren.
13 grandchildren. How old is your oldest child?
She just turned 50 this year.
Man, you are old. But you talk to people with children 50 and 60. I remember the day that our daughter was born, 37 years ago in Tuscaloosa. I remember walking out because I was tired and getting some peanuts and some Coke. And when I came in, that little old black head, I remember it just like it was yesterday. And so when David is saying how long, Paul is saying our momentary, keep reading.
Light affliction.
Keep reading.
Is producing for us an eternal weight of glory.
It's working for us. Young men, look at me. Do not marry a girl that drives a BMW. Or a Volvo, or an Audi. Do not marry a spoiled brat. They will ruin your life. Girls, do not marry someone who will not work. Before God ever gave Adam Eve, he gave him a job to guard the garden. It is these momentary afflictions that are working on our behalf to get rid of our jello backbones and give us a backbone of steel. Because once you've been successful in that battle, guess what's coming? Another one. And so, does that ever... Older folks, does that ever stop? Does it ever get easy? Easier? And so David says, my problems seem to be unending. Someone read the second part of verse 1. In Psalms.
How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?
Not only is David saying that my problems seem to be unending, God, you seem to be uninterested in what's going on. You've been around those people that are always going to one-up people. Just stop and listen. Stop and watch people. When you're talking, they're reloading their guns so they can outdo you or say something. They will not hush. There's times that I'm at the office and someone will call and they'll say, "Are you still there?" "Yeah, I'm here." "Did you call?" "Yes." "And you want me to listen?" "Yeah, all right. I've got that down pat." And sometimes you're thinking to yourself when you're sharing problems and sharing with other people, they don't even care. They can't even tell you what's going on. And David to the Lord is saying, "Lord, are you even interested in what's going on down here?" Let's go back to Job. Job's about his merry business. He's trading and watching the sheep give birth and the goats and the camels and everything else he's gotten as children. And God says to Satan, why don't you go get him? Just trouble him a little bit. What? Let's go see what he's made of. Who needs friends when you got a God like that? It's God's suggestion. How many chapters are there in the book of Job? How many? Can I hear a higher bid, lower bid? How many? How many words?
Which version?
Oh. Which translation?
I said, what translation you like? I say, large print. The book of Job has inspired millions upon millions of people going through difficult times, even though that's not the theme of the book. The theme of the book of Job is when the whole world seems like it's upside down, God's still in control. There's the book of Job. Matthew's not about Matthew. Mark's not about Mark. Job's got a book written about Job. If that book was entitled Michael, it would have two words in it. He failed. That's the difference. Job hung in there even when he felt, like David, that his problems were unending. Keep reading. Someone read verse 2. David is saying, my problems seem to be unending. God, you seem to be uninterested. I'm unhappy. Keith has done marriage counseling. Bobby's done marriage counseling. Larry needs marriage counseling. How many times have we heard the word, I'm just not happy anymore? There's only one answer to that. Number one, you need to repent. You need to love your wife like Christ loves the church. That's the answer to that nonsense. Happiness is a byproduct of holiness. Blessed, blessed, blessed. When we are holy, God blesses us with happiness. And David is saying that I'm agonizing inside of myself. I am unhappy, Lord. Keep reading. How long shall my enemy exult over me? Have you ever fought Satan? I get extra points for sweating. This, in America, this is being a martyr. If a brother is overtaken in a sin, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. To the wife who was told by her husband, why don't you follow me? She made the statement, I cannot follow a parked car, vehicle. Galatians chapter 6. How many times have we been in the point where we've said to God, God, I'm going to do my best not to do that again. And for some reason, it overtakes us. We don't want to sin. We don't mean to sin. It just takes us over. You ever been there? Nobody? Am I alone? How many times have you told yourself, I'll not say that again? And man, lo and behold, you're praying about it, you're trying not to, and you do. Unsuccessful. Not winning this battle. And then David does to God what children do to us. We'll close with this in verse 3. Consider. Lord, consider and answer me, oh my God. I used to come home from the office, and it wasn't that far from the house, and I'd come in and I'd pick up my paper. Donna would say, put the paper down. I want to talk to someone who can put a sentence together. We had three children. Rachel, our daughter. And 18 months later, someone ordered my boys, and they came, and we couldn't put them back, so we raised them. But Rachel many times would climb up on my lap, and if I was distracted, have you ever had your daughter or your children just grab your face and turn it? And this is what David is doing with God. God, give me some attention. God does care about us. The atheists are wrong on this. God comforts us. God, give me some attention. Verse 5, here's the answer. But I have trust. We've got to trust God. The only time things stay dark is when you stay in the tunnel. As long as the train is moving, there's going to be light. As long as you keep moving, you get out of the valley. We've got to trust God. God's the God of the tunnel, dark nights, bright days, mountaintops and valleys. We've got to trust the Lord. And then he said, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. One of the problems that David is sharing with us is when he's going through difficult times, dealing with himself and dealing with God. It's a beautiful psalm. Many times when we are going through difficult times, our prayers are so weak, are so dishonest, that we won't just lay it on the line for the Lord. Oh God, you know I'm going through a difficult time. Be with me. David was honest with God because he trusted God. Have any of you fathers ever had your son to say, Daddy, I hate you? Anyone? Am I the only one again? When my children's great-grandfather passed away, he had some money, and he gave to the kiddos. And one of my children decided he was going to buy a Ford Ranger XLT truck. And I don't know what he had done, but I grounded him and made him drive the truck to the back of the property, and I put it back there. And he told me I couldn't do that. Let the war begin. And listen, I'm a good daddy. Love my children. But there's got to be boundaries. And so this went on for a little bit. And I finally got in the truck, drove it out to the front on Highway 13, the main road going from Winston County down to Tuscaloosa. I went and got some white shoe polish, and I put for sale on his truck that he had paid for, that I didn't have any right to tell him what he could and couldn't do. I knew who was going to win this one. His mother. Who has been the reasoning power of parenting. And Joshua looked at me, he said, Daddy, I hate you. Do you think that I went to my bedroom and cried? Do you think I went and took his truck? No. my son knew, and we had a great relationship. That's not who my son was. He was angry. And brethren, if we don't think God understands the agony and the emotions that we have in life, we don't really have a good relationship with God. That we have to tiptoe around on eggshells because we're afraid of God. I love David because he was honest with God the Father, and God answered his prayers. Thank you for your time.